So we're going to read scripture now before Graham comes and speaks to us about it. So it's from Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 verses 1 to 13. Luke chapter 11. And it's Jesus teaching on prayer. And you'll recognise some of the words that we heard sang to us earlier on. Luke chapter 11 verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's just pray before Graham comes up, shall we? Father, we thank you for Graham. Thank you for his ministry amongst us. And Father, I pray that you'll bless him as he comes and speaks to us now. I pray, Father, that all of us will be challenged and blessed today as we go through this passage of scripture. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I love working and serving with Dawn, but how she expects me to concentrate on a sermon when I have this beautiful aroma wafting through my nostrils, and I will be thinking of my tea for when I get home. We're just going to look at 3 very simple questions as we look at this passage tonight. What are we to pray for? Why do we need to pray for our daily needs? And when do we need to pray? So what are we praying for when we say, "Give us today our daily bread"? Well, we're praying for bread. Bread would be what we consider a staple, something that has been part of our diet for many years. A very basic product that keeps us alive. If we were in another country, perhaps we would be praying for our daily rice, or perhaps we'd be praying for our daily pasta. Bread. When we first went to visit Ben and Roz in Bolivia, as we always do there, we take as much as we can possibly squeeze into our cases, and they send us a list of things that they would love us to bring over. And the very first time that we went over, right at the top of the list was a bread maker. Because in Bolivia, bread is not brilliant. It does not taste gorgeous like this. And they really miss. And Rosa got used to making bread. And that was the one thing above everything else, even better than chocolate, which they also loved, was a bread maker. So we duly packed up the bread maker as carefully as we possibly could, put it in the middle of our case and covered it around, and then prayed that it would arrive safely at the other end through all the customs checks and everything. And actually it did. And for 5 to 6 years now, as they've been over there, I know that Roz and Ben have used that 2 or 3 times a week to make, they really do, are making their daily bread. But what are we praying for? We're praying for things that we really need. We remember that Jesus calls himself the bread from heaven. So this is not about what I would like. This is what I really need. So it may be for bread. It may be for a home, security. It may be for a job. And it's about what I need today, not what I need tomorrow. Give me today my daily bread. And if you're anything like me, you would really like things to be nicely smoothed out for the future. So you would like your bread for tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after as well. But the prayer that the Lord teaches us is praying for today's needs. Now, this is not about praying for some sort of insurance policy that everything in the future will be bright and rosy for us. But what I need today. You remember the people of Israel, they went into the desert and they thought, how are we going to survive? How are we going to exist? And God sent this amazing miracle that each day in the morning, early in the morning, manna would arrive from heaven. And they were to go out early in the morning and collect the manna. And if they felt that they'd rather put their feet up, have a lie-in that day, I think, well, what I'll do is I'll collect enough manna for tomorrow as well. But what happened was that tomorrow's manna just became awful and they couldn't eat it. The manna only lasted for one day, except because God had said that they should have a day of rest. When they collected it before the Sabbath, it lasted for 2 days. And so the people of Israel had to learn that God was going to provide their daily needs, the needs that they have right now for today. Yes, I would love to be absolutely sure of exactly what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day. And I would love to know that God is going to give me everything that I possibly need. But the Lord says, pray for today's bread. So we're praying for what we need, not for what we want. So why do I need to pray for bread? For surely God knows what I need. God knows that I need daily bread. He knows that I need daily sustenance. He knows everything that I need. So why is it that Jesus says to his disciples, as part of the way they pray, they should pray for their daily needs? I think the answer is that so that I remain completely dependent on God. And this is very different to human parents. And we often compare our own relationship with our children with our relationship with God the Father. But as a parent, actually, your job is not to make your children completely dependent on you. Your job is to allow them to become independent. Your job is to give them security, but to know that they can go out and they can manage on their own. I can still remember the very first time we took Ben to university, and we left him at university, and my heart broke. I remember coming home and going into his bedroom and sitting on his bed and just bursting into tears, and Anne and I really struggled for that. But I knew that it was good, it was right that Ben had to start living without us. He had to learn to become independent. But that isn't the way it is with our Father, our Heavenly Father. He wants us to be dependent children. Now, why is that? Well, I have many failings. And if any of you know me well, you'll probably tell me what some of those are. And Anne could give you a great long list of my failings. But probably at the very top of the list is my temptation to think that I can manage on my own. I have a very independent streak. I don't like admitting that I need help. I'm not very good at going to people and asking for help because I think I should be able to manage. I'm a grown-up boy now, and surely I can manage on my own. And that is a big temptation for us all. And God knows us, and he knows that that is something that we fall into. Perhaps we start depending on him and we come into a relationship with him. But as we get older, we start to think that we can manage on our own. And so we need constant reminding. And I think this is what this prayer does. It constantly reminds us that we are a people who depend on God's goodness, on God's power, on God's mercy. And that there is nothing worthwhile that we can do without him, without his Holy Spirit filling us and empowering us. It's a constant reminder to me that I need faith in God. And it's hard for me because I've never had to go hungry. I've always had a job. I have been made redundant once, but it was only for a short time, and I was always sure that I would find another job. I was being very fortunate to be in an area that's always full employment, really. And that really brings this temptation that because I have a job, because I earn money, I have always earned money, that I can do it on my own, that I can support myself, that I can support my family. I'm always amazed at the stories, I haven't heard them for a long time, about the Muller homes in Bristol, and how that there were times when they had no bread and no milk, and they had to pray to God for their daily bread. And God would work miracles. People would turn up at the doorstep with bread, with milk, for all sorts of reasons that they didn't know that they were prayed for. That's so hard, isn't it? I've never had to do that. And so the temptation, again, for me to believe that I am self-sufficient is always there. So perhaps God says to me, yes, of course, I will give you your daily bread. But actually, you do need to work for it. So this is about myself working in partnership with God. Or perhaps he says, yes, I will give you your daily bread, but you're going to need to ask others to support you. Now, we've been going through this with Andy and Esther. And knowing what I'm like, my independence, to me it's one of the hardest things in the world to have to go to people and ask them to support you completely, financially. We've worked with other people that we know have gone out on the mission field, and they've had to put so much time and effort into this. And God is good. God has been answering Andy and Esther's prayers, and they've got very close to what they need. They've now been able to go ahead and get their tickets, and things have been working through. But it's a hard thing, isn't it, to learn that as part of God's provision for you, others are going to have to support you. And perhaps God says to us, of course I will give you your daily bread, but you need to accept what I will give you. The fact is there are endless choices in the supermarket. As you go down the supermarket and look at tea and coffee, a whole aisle full of tea and coffee. Our choices have costs for other people. Perhaps God says to us, I'll give you your daily bread, but you need to learn to live more simply. You need to pay a fair price through organisations like Fair Trade. I know in the news over the last months there's continuing concerns for our farmers. So many of them have had to give up dairy farming because we pay such a low price for our milk, they cannot survive anymore. So why should I pray? So that I learn my complete dependence. And there's this wonderful paradox, isn't it, about prayer. And it comes into all sorts of prayers. One of those things I've always struggled with sometimes. I think, well, if God knows everything, He knows what He's going to do, what His plans are, you know, what exactly is my role in prayer? What is it about prayer? I think it's about God's power, but our involvement in His plans for us. So do you recognise your daily needs? Or like me, have you grown used? Do you started to just take things for granted? We looked at this passage, didn't we? We recognise that God is a loving God. And in verses 11 to 13, it says there, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. And part of that is that He knows that we need to be completely dependent on Him for His grace, His mercy, and for everything that we receive. So we pray for our daily bread, the things that we need to sustain us, our real needs, not our wants. Having said that, God is so good, and He does provide far more than we just need. The last question is, when do I need to pray for bread? And I think the answer is every day. Repeatedly. And this really comes across in this passage that we read, didn't it? In verse 9, it says, so I ask you, ask, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And it's something, this is about continuous, repetitive actions. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. We'll give an example. We can look at another similar one as well. We hear of a man, and he has an unexpected visitor. And so he goes to his next door neighbour, and presumably it's at least in the evening or late at night. And you can see the picture, can't you? He's hammering on the door. I need some bread. Could you lend me some bread? Because I've had somebody come and visit. And, you know, the man up there says, go away, you know, I've gone to bed, too late, can't be bothered, I can't get up now. And he keeps on hammering, and I can imagine him outside yelling up at his neighbour's window. And Jesus says, eventually, for no other reason than his neighbour will eventually get up, just to get a bit of peace and quiet, and we'll answer the door and we'll give him the bread. There's a similar sort of passage in a little bit later on in Luke, and I'll just read it to you. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells another story. He says, when Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up, he said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this woman keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. And so we have these two stories, very similar ones. The neighbour knocking on the door to borrow some bread. The widow pestering and pestering and pestering this judge to give judgments. And in both cases, they eventually give up. Now, I'm sure you realise that this isn't saying that this is what God is like. He is not a God who needs to be pestered and reminded constantly, because he's a God who loves us. That's not the point. The point is that you keep on praying. You keep on going. So this is about a contrast. So it's about praying continually. Now, this isn't about just repeating endless, meaningless prayers, because Jesus warns against that. He says, you know, don't do that. He talks about the people who sound really good and really eloquent, who stand on the street corner praying nicely, and people come along and pat them on the back and say, that sounds really good. And Jesus says, that's all the reward they will ever get. So this isn't about repeating endless, meaningless prayers. Whenever I say and hear the Lord's Prayer, I can't help but remember school days. I can remember, and it just immediately brings back, standing in the school hall with about 600 boys, and we recited the Lord's Prayer every day, Monday to Friday. And reciting is the word for 99% of the people there, the boys and the teachers. It had no meaning. It was just a recitation. So praying constantly, continuously, is not about just repeating endless, meaningless words. But we are often quite good about starting things, aren't we? We start something off, but we let things slip so easily. Anne and I decided some little while ago that we would pray for our children every day, absolutely every day without fail. And he said, well, what we'll do is we'll, when we have our evening meal together, we will pray for our three boys, for their families. Have we done that every single day ever since? No way. Not a chance. All sorts of reasons, all sorts of things come in the way. And you know, not something I'm proud of at all, you know, but I'm just so aware that we so easily give up. We so easily stop doing things. And we just have to go back. We pick ourselves up. We say, oh, Lord, we failed again. We tried. We made this promise to each other and to you that we would do this, and we failed. But we'll pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and we will start again. So, yes, we don't keep to our commitments, do we? But we are told, pray today for our daily bread. We had our leadership team meeting, one thing I will share with you, and that is that as we were thinking about some of the great needs that we have in the church, what our priorities should be, we were unanimous that our top priority should be prayer. And we're so aware that as a church, as a leadership team, as individuals, so often we do things, we start doing things, but things slip so easily. Give us today, Lord, our daily bread. Let's pray that today. Let's pray that tomorrow. Let's pray that the next day. Lord, give us what we need to sustain us. What we need to sustain us as a church, well, certainly bread, but we need God's Holy Spirit. And remember that we read in the passage there that we're talking about God's goodness. Interesting, isn't it, that it says, when it says that how our Father knows what we need, what is it that they need? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So it isn't just about our physical bread, is it? We know that when Jesus was tempted, he said, we will not live just by bread alone. We will not just live physically. There is so much more. And we have spiritual needs. And as a church, we have such a need. Yes, we do have a need for a pastor. And we're so looking forward to David coming to join us. But even above that, we have the need of the Holy Spirit filling us. And I think that's something that we should be praying every single day for God's Spirit to fill us, to strengthen us. So let's make prayer a real priority in our home life, in our family life, in our individual life, in the life of HBC. So keep on praying. Keep on asking for what we need day to day, our daily bread. Keep on knocking so that we can move forward in God's power, not stand still. And keep on seeking so that we know what God's mind is for us individually and for us as a church. So if, like me, you have a tendency to start to think that you can manage, if you have a bit of an independent spirit, take this scripture to heart, that I need God's goodness every single day of my life, that I need God's support, God's power, and God's provision. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, give us today our daily bread. Whatever that is for each one of us, Lord, we ask that you would give us what we need to live, what we need to serve you, what we need as a church to move forward in your power. We ask indeed that you would give us the Holy Spirit day by day, that he will fill our lives, our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we thank you that you are such a good God. Lord, we know that you do not need to be reminded. You don't forget. You know what we need. And yet we thank you that you involve us in this world, that we are involved in our prayers. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your greatness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.